starting tomorrow. But first, some people know that I'm on vacation. Can you imagine? I started my vacation in the house of worship Saturday morning. I'm ending my vacation in the house of worship on Sunday morning. God is good all the time. The ministry God has called me to is called Recovery by Faith. Recovery from being out of the friendship of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Being out of that relationship. Those who know me know that I speak on that intimate personal relationship that God created mankind for. And that's what recovery is. Because for those who don't know me, 13 years ago, I was an alcoholic, crack addict. I still have issues. I'm not perfect by a long shot. My Savior is perfected. Amen. I'm perfected through Christ Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. I speak of recovery in a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Throughout my 30 years of addiction, every morning I woke up, I wasn't going to do it again. I can't do nothing on my own. Another thing I like to say, look at the word sin. What's in the middle of sin? I try to do things. I try to do this. I can't do nothing but fail. Because I failed every morning, every night, at 2 in the morning. I have to be at work at 4. I'm not going to do these drugs again. I'm going to quit tomorrow. Halfway through the morning, I'm planning on who I'm going to steal from. The wait staff to make sure I had money. So that was an everyday thing until I finally. Now, I was saved at an early age. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior at the age of 14. But I never let him be my Lord and Savior. My word to those in recovery, and when I say recovery, I'm not talking about addiction of alcohol, drugs. We all have issues. And there are those who do not know to bring it to the Lord. He says, bring all your cares and concerns and lay them at my feet and take upon my yoke. My yoke is easy. There are those who do not know that. There are those in faith who do not know that. So part of recovery is not just letting them know, yes, there's freedom out from alcohol. There's 125 addictions according to the American Psychiatric Association. I read them all. I classify as 3/4 of them. Workaholic. I'm a perfectionist. Egotistical. It's got to be my way or you're wrong. Your opinion doesn't matter when I'm at work. It's my way. Boy, my co-workers hate that in me.
Don't tell me all your weaknesses about that.
But I don't care. That's who I am. That's who I was.
That's right.
Amen.
So that is part of this recovery. Lisa and I are in this together. And what I want y'all to know, this is what the seed y'all planted. All those 4 years ago when y'all came in agreement to let Tammy, Reed, and myself attend LCU, Life Christian University. You paid the way. You paved the way. Not just paid it. You paved the way for where you see us three now. This is y'all's doing. You know, you said, what you're sowing here? This is part of the reaping right here. The three of us. Because Robert saw in me what I didn't see. You know, he said, God's called you to be a teacher of men. I don't know, that's the third time. First time I was at DART program at Wayne Correctional Institute. Oh, yeah, I was in prison in 1997, those don't know. I was at Wayne County. My counselor said, Smith, you're going to be a great teacher of men. I'm going, oh, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to get through prison. I'm just working a program, thinking to get me some brownie points. It didn't. Did everything I was supposed to do as soon as I got out of prison. My brother picked me up. I processed down at Mount Pleasant Correctional Institute. He got me in the truck and said, pull in this store right here. Now, my wife, even though we're separate, my wife and children were waiting on me. Pull in this store right here. If you know about Mount Pleasant, person on the left coming in on 73. He said, yeah, you want a good cigarette. I said, hold on to that idea. I went and I bought me a 40-ounce bottle of beer. I'd worked all this. I'd been clean. Well, semi-clean. He said, you're not drinking that in here. I said, you're right. I downed it. I said, now I'll get in that truck. So I hadn't been working it. I had another one, my son, a friend of his, a prophet. His name's Devin. It was on Thanksgiving 15 years ago. Called his father and my son and me into the dining room. He said, Jack, he said, I got a word from you from God. He said, what's that? I said, you'll be a teacher in a minute. Oh, no, I'm not. No. And that Wednesday night, Bible study, Robert said, Jack, God said, you'll be a preacher of men. No, I'm not. That's Peter, three times. That's it. So I said, okay, God, I give up. I give up. Next thing you know, I've been talking to my older brother about going to Karis Bible College. I like Andrew Womack. I've learned from him and Robert, Pastor Howard. I've learned more in these years under their guidance. I said, I'd love to go to Karis Bible College. My brother, well, why don't you go? Well, it's in Colorado. I live here. All right. Well, be careful about what you ask God about or tell God about. Next year, they opened up a campus over here in Charlotte. My brother, well, why don't you go there? Well, my schedule just won't let me. Next year, in here, Robert goes, Jack, would you like to go to LCU for 1 month for free? I am, all right, God. It's like God said, you went from Colorado to Charlotte. I got it in your backyard. How much closer do you want it? Yeah, and it's free. Wound up, it's right here now. And so I went that month. I'm like, wow. Then, because y'all sowed into the ministry, I got to go. I got to know Tammy real well and Reed. We had great times there, and I enjoy it, and it's a blessing. Through that, I came in to recovery by faith. I've done a prison ministry for 3 years now. Did it for 3 good years, and I enjoyed every minute until this year. See, I go in there. I went on the AA guys. And if any of y'all have ever been to AA, first thing they do when they get up, I'm so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. I can't do that. I'm not an alcoholic. I used to be one. God said, I'm a new creation. And so for 3 years, I taught by faith. I saw men's lives. I don't know if they changed because we were in prison, but I saw their eyes light up. They had a hunger. I never, ever went in there without a full class. Now, there was one or two times when I went in there and they said, you only got one inmate, so you can't go in there. I couldn't understand that. I could go in there with 12 convicted inmates, right? No problem. I can't go in there with one. That's the government for you, y'all. Anyway, I mean, the odds were... So this year, AA decided, I guess they heard, or honestly, Satan used them. They did not know what they were doing. Satan didn't want God's word being taught in that prison. I'm not saying there's not Bible studies in there. I'm not saying that because there is. I know of one. He goes, his name's Mark, comes from the Lutheran church around here. They're in there. But Satan didn't want God's word being taught these men in addiction. So AA said, you got to have one of these guys with you from now on. Some little guy, I mean, he meant well. Been clean 6 months. Most, even AA will tell you, they don't want you doing nothing until you got a couple years behind you, underneath your belt. Who's going to believe you? Because most people, you know, after 2 or 3 years, you know, hey, I'm good. I got a co-worker. I'm good. Took him about 6 months, and he fell back. Out. I couldn't do it because the guy asked me when he was leaving out one night. I said, well, Jack, who's your sponsor? Well, if you know anything about AA, they so, you know, you need to get a sponsor, someone you can call on when you're having doubts, when you're having those temptations. Have someone who's going to be there for your back. Jack, who's your sponsor? Jesus. He said, no, who's your sponsor? I said, Jesus.
He's real.
I said, he said, where's your group? I said, Word of Faith Worship Center. I said, Jesus will not fail me. I said, man will. I said, man will fail me in my hour of need. I said, Jesus will not.
Amen.
So that was it. God said, okay, time to go on. Now, to have a beginning, you have to have an ending. So that was the end of the prison ministry in Cabarrus County Jail. And it was the beginning of Word of Faith, Recovery by Faith. This is something that God laid upon me several years ago. And when I was at LCU in the counseling program, which... there's not enough time in the day for that course. I think it should be several years in that one program. It really should be. I loved it that much. I learned about me. I thought I knew me. I didn't know me at all. I knew I was saved, but I didn't know all that was in store. Why I acted the way I did. You know, in this recovery program, it's easy to say, shouldn't be drinking. It's wrong for your body. It's sinful. Why? Why did I do what I did? In recovery, it says make a deep moral personal inventory. And when I was studying that, God showed me, because I asked God, why did I act the way I did? Because I grew up in a God-fearing home. We're taught my mother was my Godhead here on earth. I knew Jesus was my Lord and Savior, but my mother was my Godhead. My father died when I was like 5, so I got one little remembrance from him, and that was it. My mother was my Godhead. Because actions in her life dictated what I thought was right and wrong. Now, she did not mean what she let go unsaid to be true, but as a 7, 9, 10-year-old boy, you know, I saw my mother. Mom didn't say it was right. Mom didn't say it was wrong. So I perceived in my mind. My stepfather, he worked all week, got drunk on the weekends. My mom never said nothing. So I perceived that as long as I worked, I could drink, no problems. You know, he would, excuse my language, would grope all over my mother. Mom never said nothing. So in my mind, it was all right, take advantage of women. When this man drunk one weekend, him and his buddy were both drunk, tried to rape one of my sisters. Lucky by the grace of God, he sent her boyfriend in there, and he beat out of those two men. Mama said my sister dressed too provocatively, and oh, by the way, they were drunk. They didn't know what they were doing. So my mother, not meanly, told me, as long as I was drunk, I could get away with anything. Now, a couple years ago, my mom was over Universal Nursing Home, and all this was revealed to me. Now, of course, I did not go to my mother and say, Mom, look what you did. I said, Father, I said, I forgive her, and I forgive myself. That's the thing in recovery, is learning to forgive yourself. It's a new relationship. And when Robert asked me to talk about recovery by faith, they asked me last week, he said, would you be willing to speak Sunday? I'm just happy to be here. Told Larry I was speaking. He saw me mic'd up and said, man, you speaking today? Yep, here I am. And it's all relationship. This is something, again, people who know me, and if you don't come on Wednesday night, you miss a great time. Now, Reed and I like to have a good time with Robert. He makes it enjoyable, but I speak of relationship with God the Father. You know, in Genesis 3:8, let me get my glasses out so everybody who needs them, get yours out too. It says, according to God's word in 3rd chapter, verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you. I was afraid. This verse shows that God created man for an intimate personal relationship. God wasn't up in heaven. Now, after man sinned, God had to separate himself from sin. But he expected. God came out. He came out looking. Adam, where are you? Yes. I'm here to fellowship with you. Yes. You know, and that means so much to me. I've learned. You know, I speak of myself whenever I teach of anything. All I can tell you about my life, what's happened with me. Amen. Your relationship with God, you know, that's your personal relationship. My purpose, my voice, is that you come to understand that this is what God created us for. Amen. Again, in this verse we see where it was normal for God to walk in the garden and have a relationship with Adam and Eve. He even called, and he still calls, so we can approach him through Christ Jesus. We have that blessing. You know, again, I didn't know. Because when I was raised up, when I was saved, back in the old Southern Baptist right down here on the south end of Concord, turn and burn, that's it. That's all you needed to know. We weren't going to hell, going to heaven. Didn't tell me how I was supposed to live. Didn't tell me what I had a relationship with God. It just told me, this is what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, where's the big change? I didn't know. When I came here, y'all know me, Reed. I'm going to go all over the board. I'm better than Robert at this. When I came here, God brought me here through Larry. I was attending Living Water Church of God, which used to be the old Lane Street Church of God. My oldest son and his family goes there. He grew up there. And I went there because I knew I could not just be in a religion. I just couldn't sit there and, oh, thank you, God, yeah. I was in there, and it was good there. Not saying it wasn't good, but whenever I couldn't go and whenever they weren't getting my check, they didn't know nothing about me. And I prayed to God. I said, God, I said, deliver me to a home. Deliver where you'd have me to be. Larry goes where I employed at. I don't like to work there. I'm just employed there at Troutman's. He invited me here one night, one Sunday. I came here. That first, and I enjoyed it. That first week, I got a phone call and a card from this house of worship. Never, ever in any other house of worship I've been in, I'm 62 years old, has anyone showed that kind of compassion. See, that's that intimate, personal relationship. Y'all opened up to me. So when you think just being in here, it's more to it. Like I said, I don't get the blessing. I've been here every Sunday like y'all do. So y'all went for it for a while anyway. You know, in verse 9, when God called out for Adam, but because of sin, he answered, I heard you, and I was afraid. Again, that's that conviction I still deal with. Because I'm a fallen man, you know, in the physical sense. I still sin. And I've learned I can come to God. And I can say, God, I receive what you've already done. You know, I've learned, you know, it's not, oh, God, forgive me of my sins. It's been forgiven. I don't need to throw Jesus upon that cross. He did it one time, once and for all. Amen. I've learned I have to receive what's already been done for me. And that is part of the freedom in recovery, is understanding what's already been given to you. It's part of life, understanding what's happened in our lives. There, like I said, there's times I delay coming to Jesus out of shame and guilt. That's when Satan tries to tell me I'm unworthy. Right. You know what? Jesus says I am. Right. Today, we observed the broken body, the blood of the cross, says I am worthy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not by my acts, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, I am saved. I want to look now over in Exodus 33:11. Excuse me. Talking about a relationship. Says, this is Exodus 33:11. Then the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, where his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. God and Moses talked face to face in the tent of meeting, just as friends do. Why did Moses find such favor with God? It certainly was not because he was perfect, gifted, or powerful. Rather, it was because God chose Moses, and Moses, in turn, relied wholeheartedly on God's wisdom and direction. Friendship was a privilege. Friendship is still a privilege. We have that privilege. We can come to God on anything and everything. Like I said, I was on vacation this week. And if anybody follows me on Facebook, you can tell I just don't go nowhere and sit down. God showed me this week, he was going to stretch me, push me some. Let me know, because he's getting me ready. He's starting me on a new path now. Right. He's showing me, I've got your back. I went to the beach first part of this week, last weekend. Out there, you know, surfing, you know, body surfing. I can't swim, y'all. I can't swim a lick. But I got out there. You know, now, I wasn't foolish. I didn't get way out there. God didn't say, I didn't make you foolish. I made you wise. And so I got out there. I had a great time with grandkids. From there, well, I stopped in Max, and we had a homecoming. I'm a Lumbee Indian. Yay. And stopped there, but then I wound up going to Boone, North Carolina. I love the mountains. Anybody that knows me knows I do. I love getting on a mountaintop. I think mainly, I shout at God a lot. Anybody that knows me, I tell these stories. And it's true, because God says, come to me. You think Moses got up on the mountain? Well, God, you know I'm here. What do you want me to do? I see the bush, you know. No. Doesn't God say, come boldly?
That's right.
How's he going to hear you if you want, oh, God, no. I mean, I know he can, but I got a big mouth. Ain't that right, Reed? And he tells me to use it. So I went to Boone, and again, I love the mountains. There's so many stories I can tell you about the mountains. But two of the things I did, I went zip lining. Anybody go zip lining? That's fun, ain't it? You up high? You zipping down fast? Yes, sir. I'm afraid of heights. Yeah, I was afraid of heights. Next day, anybody been to Grandfather Mountain? How many went across the Mile High Bridge? I'm scared. I'm still scared of heights. When I got up there, the second time I went, a couple years ago, you couldn't see past, here's the beginning, there it is. It's cloudy. It's mile high. You're in the clouds, y'all. I get up there, and at first I'm like, I ain't going, I rode by. God said, no, you're an overcomer. So he put me back there. I went up that mountain, got up there, couldn't see about from here to Robert. I'm going like, all right. I went on across. I got that marker that says, you're a mile high up. I went, all right, I'm doing it. Coming back, I felt ashamed. Here's some little kid. They didn't know better they could fall. They thought they could fly. So that being said, God was stretching me, getting me ready. Because, you know, I'm starting something new that I've never done before. I've done a prison ministry, but this is something different. Right now, we're starting on Monday and Tuesday afternoons from 5 to 6, right now. God's already shown me. This is Monday through Friday afternoon thing and Saturday morning. My employer don't like that idea. Oh, well, I don't live for her. I live for God. God told me this. This is what God told me I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. He also told me I'm going to be broke from the bondage of working at Troutman's Barbecue. Larry ain't going to like that, but oh, well. He can find another cook. I'm 62, son, not 22. That's well, I don't want that. I got better things to do. It's called right here. This is what God has called me to do. You know, Robert and I were talking the other Wednesday night in here on Bible study, you know, just like he is. He's employed somewhere. I'm employed somewhere. It's not what we want to do. God's called me to teach. This is what I enjoy. I enjoy this more than anything. My little girl, people who know me, know my daughter's the apple of my eye. I delivered my daughter at home. Would not recommend that to anybody. It was not planned that way. It just happened that way. But, you know, I lost where I was going on that one. I do take after Robert. Anyway.
You did it.
Yeah. Hey, at least you ain't singing songs up here in that Arby Reed. All right. Again, God sees now that this is a reference to the nature of friend. Friendship. My daughter is my friend. But God has showed me, you know, this past week. I went through a lot emotionally this week. Not only doing all this, which I love doing, but God's moved me because I've been relying a lot on my daughter. You know, being not consumed, but because I love my daughter. She's the apple of my eye. I have two older sons. I love them as well, but I spend a lot of time with my daughter and her children. Been consumed by that. God showed me that I love her and my grandchildren. It's time to move forward. You know, because he's going to have me doing other things. So, not that I'm not going to love my daughter and grandchildren. I love them. Nothing can ever change that. But I'm moving forward. This relationship is growing. You know, if we hold back, again, remember I said, I have to have an ending to have a beginning. So, in this relationship, it's a new beginning. Now, restoring relationships. We know now God wants us to have a relationship with us. Now, we're going to look at some of the actions and attitudes that may hinder us. We'll first go to Matthew 5, 23 and 4. Oh, yeah, action and attitude, yeah. You're going to take credit for that still, ain't you? Robert renamed AA, action and attitude. So, anyway, we'll go to Matthew 23, 24. All right. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and reconcile to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Broken relationships can hinder our relationship with God. If we have a problem or a grievance with a friend, we should resolve that problem as soon as possible. We're hypocrites if we claim to love God while we hate others. Our attitude towards others reflects our relationship with God. That right there is what I'm talking about happened to me this week. Letting God's... When I went to the beach, my daughter originally, supposed to be her family. Oh, you ain't got to leave now. I ain't that bad. But it's her sister-in-law and her kids. And she said, Dad, you know, originally, come vacation with us. Okay. So that's how my vacation was. Then it wound up, okay, Dad, just do it for a couple of days a week because her father-in-law, his girlfriend, and a couple other people come. Okay. Then it went up, Dad, we can only let you be there Saturday and Sunday. I said, well, you know, I've got a meet and greet. I said, so, I went, well, that's just the way it is. Oh, my goodness. Just slapped me in the face all week. Every time I thought about that, well, he's down there with them, and I'm up here. It got where I couldn't enjoy what I was doing. That first day, that Wednesday, I could not enjoy it. I stayed in my motel room. I thought, oh, no, poor pitiful me. Oh, my goodness. At times, I'm surprised I put up with myself. But when God showed me, he said, my daughter still loves me. I'm up there to do what God's called me to do. So I had to forgive myself. I asked God, forgive me. This attitude I had. So my daughter had no idea about those feelings, but I did, and it was preventing my relationship with God. And God had great things for me to do this week, and boy, did I do them. Right, I'm going to go now to Luke 6:37. All right. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. How can I get forgiveness if I don't forgive? And like I said, again, like an addiction, you got to learn to forgive yourself. We're the hardest ones on ourselves. Y'all know this. Who's going to criticize you more than anybody? Your son back there plays baseball. That's my grandson. Let him make a bad play. It's a bad play. Oh, no. You should have seen, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, right? Yes, you'll find so many things. Don't think I ain't forgot that you play sports too, young lady. But we persecute ourselves more than anyone else. So we have to learn to forgive ourselves first and foremost. I do that every day when I walk in that restaurant. Lord, forgive me for what I'm going to do today. Forgive me for thinking what I'm going to think about these people that walk in here. So, yeah, believe me, again, my recovery is a day-by-day thing. I'm in recovery through Christ Jesus. So, forgiveness. All right, let's go, like I said, I got a few of these in here. Let's see where I got this one at. I need to go to 1 John 4:20. There it is, I did have it marked. I know where I'm going, and I still can't find it. All right. This is John 4, verse 19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love you, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must love his brother. It's easy to say we love God when that love doesn't cost us anything more than weekly attendance at a religious service. But the real test of our love is how we treat the people right in front of us, our family, fellow believers, and the ones I work with. All right, y'all, let's face it. I just got some sinners. I have to learn. Part of my prayer life each and every day when I go into work is, Father, let me accept each other on their own merit. I cannot change someone. You know, I can't change me. Jesus is the one that had to change me. So I've had to learn to be tolerant. I pray for tolerance, knowledge, wisdom, patience, control. And, oh, my God, and that one, if she doesn't come to work again, I'm just going to fire her. These are things, you know, when y'all know. When you're out there in the world, especially when you're in a position of management, I resigned from management 2 months ago. My life's a lot easier there. I'm waiting to get out of there. You know, but I've had to learn. You know, this was a hindrance because he says to love. And I love them. Because when I get home, when I get in my car, I'll sit down in my car after I get through with everything for the day. Usually after 11 hours, I'll sit down, get in that conversation. Lord, he brings everything into remembrance. This is what you said. This is what you did. This is the action you did. God, I receive your forgiveness. There are times I've learned by this, I'll have to go to a co-worker. Especially in management. Again, you know my pride I was talking about earlier. I was the GM. I have to go like, well, you know, I wasn't wrong in saying what you did was wrong. The way I went about it, I was wrong. Then those words, please forgive me. I've had them go, yeah, it's okay. I said, no, I said, truly, I said, understand, I did not mean to do that. And I had said, whatever. All right, I did my part. Not everybody's going to receive what you give them. Just like with Jesus. Not everybody received forgiveness when he went to the cross. But it's part of the process of this relationship that we have with God. All right, let's go to, I got them all over the place, y'all. We'll go to Hebrews this time. Hebrews 12, 14. You know, God just loves doing this to me. Now he's doing it in front of all y'all. All right, here's the word. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Holiness is coupled with living in peace. A right relationship with God leads to a right relationship with fellow believers. Although we will not always feel loving toward all other believers, we must pursue peace and we become more Christ-like. Again, I don't know where I work at. You know, at first, at one time, I was like, well, you know, God, I'm one of them. They don't believe I'm a child of God. They're not. Look at them. Look at the way they're living. She's living with this guy. She's doing that. Man, if I just looked in the mirror, I'm like, man, that was me. Every time I look at someone, all of a sudden God's putting a mirror up. Look at you. Who are you to judge? Did it not say, judge not, yet you be judged? Oh, yeah, he loves telling me that one. Again, it's his attitude. Our attitude is what comes between us and God. You know, when we truly let Jesus be our Lord. You know, again, that's another message next time I'm around. Lordship. Lordship is when, you ever wonder why they use, I'm not sure why I knew Jesus came to this time. I know it was biblical, but in this way of life in lordships and kings, if you were in a kingdom or in a town and you had a lord that was over you, that lord had to provide for you, protect you in case of bands. If you were without food, if you were sick, that lord had to provide and meet all your needs. Again, lordship. It goes together, doesn't it? God knew what he was doing. Where is that? Did I read this? Yeah. So again, holiness. It's not my holiness, it's the holiness of Jesus. Amen. I am nowhere being holy. Now, each and every day I pray for through the Holy Spirit to move in me. Like when I came in here this morning, last night. How many people believe I was scared to come up here? Boy, y'all weren't with me last night. Y'all weren't with me Saturday. Y'all weren't with me when I came to the altar early this morning. I laid it out here. Jesus said, I got you. I got you. He says he gave me the ability to talk, and I love to talk. That was Satan at my house. He ain't welcome there. That was Satan trying to tell me, who do you think you are? Going in the house, my house of worship, and think you're going to speak. I'm your child. You gave me a voice. I'm going to use it. All right, we're almost at the end. Reed, you can almost take a nap. Y'all didn't know I love Reed. I love Reed and Tammy so well. I'll tell you what, I'm going to do John 3:16. my staples off here. Because we all know the verse. I can find it. There we go. As we all know, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but save the world through him." Does that not prove God loves us? Does that not prove he wants an intimate personal relationship with us? It says the entire gospel came to focus in the verse, God's love is not static or self-centered. It reaches out and draws others in. Here God sets the pattern of his true love, the basis for all love, relationship. When you love someone dearly, you're willing to give freely to the point of self-sacrifice. God paid dearly with the life of his Son, the highest price he could pay. Jesus accepted our punishment, paid the price for us, then offered us the new life that had been bought for us, that new intimate personal relationship. God gives us the way, the gift of his everlasting life through Jesus. Now, by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we come to the Father and begin our relationship of Father and Son. Relationship is a building thing. It is not a one-day thing. It's each and every day. And I'm thankful that I've found this out. Now, in parting, when I was part of my vacation, I got to read God's Word every day, different faith-based words. Because a lot of people say, well, I just read the Bible. That's good. You need to read the Word. But, you know, there are other faith-based works out there. This book right here, Lisa's not in here. I mean, to show, yeah, I kept it and I read it. Lisa gave us this book our last year in doing counseling. Come Away, My Beloved by Frances Roberts. She told us in the middle of the school, she said, this would be a great book for you to read. I do. While I was up there in my room taking a break, because believe me, for someone who didn't have a plan when he got up there, anybody ever seen Horn in the Wind? You have? Great show, ain't it? When I went, it was on the 4th of July. There's battle scenes through there. Boone and Banner Elk, it was like they were having a competition, fireworks, y'all. I mean, during the battle scenes, the fireworks are going off everywhere. I'm like, wow, God, it's in stereo. So, I mean, I didn't plan on going there. Free ticket from the motel I stayed at. I think God provided. So, I got to see and do things I'd never done before. And a lot of, you know, it was reading. Because, you know, when I'm at work, I work 11 hours a day. I come home, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so tired. By the time I rest, take a shower, eat dinner, it's time for me to go to bed. Because I go to bed, Vicki loves these early hours too, don't she? But anyway, I got to do a lot of reading. And this one came back into remembrance. And as I close, I'd like to read this. It's called Renew Thy Vows. There is a day coming when you shall say, I have waited in vain for the Lord. Lo, you shall wait for me to speak, and you shall hear only the whistling of the wind. For I say unto thee, I am never silent. You are deaf. I'm always speaking, but I find not thine ear attuned to listening. You shall sit alone in a desolate place and grieve in your loneliness. But it shall not be that I have left you, but you have become insensitive to my presence. Yes, I say unto you, that if you ignore my personal nearness and fellowship, and if you return not my overtures, you shall become dull of perception, and shall not be able to discern me, even though I am near at hand, even though my love for thee is still as strong as before. Lo, I say unto thee, be not lukewarm, lest you be among those who are cast out of my fellowship. How shall you escape, it is written, if you neglect so great salvation? But I say now unto thee, how shall you survive in your private walk in the Spirit, if you pay but faint heed to my personal nearness to you, and if you respond not in the like kind to the affection I proffer thee. Thou shalt not be able to meet the needs of others with any sort of this. There is no cure for the ills of humankind, but what is contained in the love of God. You cannot give to them until after you have taken it from me. I will not leave you comfortless. That's John 14:18. It is the purpose of my heart to fellowship with thee closely. I am turned away by your unresponsiveness, by the preoccupation with things and with people, by the thoughtlessness and indifference. Some have lost me by the sin of rebellion, but I warn you that you may lose me by the subtle way of simple inattention. Let me read that again. I warn you that you may lose me by the subtle way of simple inattention. Confess your coldness and draw near to me. I will make my personal presence real to you again. I will hold you close to my heart, and I will let you hear my voice. Renew your vow, and I will revive thy ministry. There is a life ahead for you into which you could not have entered before. There is a work ready for you, and I have prepared you for it. It is too wonderful to miss. It shall be silent but powerful. I shall cause the veil to drop, and you shall enter a new area of experience. You shall be given a knowledge in my spirit that is not to be found in books. I shall share with you my thoughts. Who can tell the sum of them? You shall partake of the mind of Christ and of the Holy Spirit of God. His eyes go throughout the whole earth, seeking out the thoughts and intents of the hearts of men. You shall serve me in ways you have never heard of before. It is my work. I have laid it out for you. Keep clear of man's works. Stay free to do mine. You shall not miss it if you keep close to me and stay sensitive to my spirit. No one else can do what I have reserved for you. And be very sure that if you fail, it shall remain undone. Crucify the flesh. Let the spirit thrive. Redeem the time, for surely the days abound with evil. Bless me, and I will bless you. When I read this, it was about me. This was written for all who hear this. We're all called for a certain ministry. And when it said, no one else can do what I have reserved for you, and be very sure that if you fail, it shall remain undone. No one, Tammy's got the gift of a beautiful voice. God told her to sing. He's laid words of wisdom upon Robert Reed. He's given me the love and desire to teach of recovery, of relationship with God. God has given each and one of us a special gift. Leo, to run the sound. And if you don't do it, what God has called you to do, I know for years, I didn't know what God called me to do. God will use people to come into our lives. He brought Robert into my life to show me this is what he called me to do. Again, you told me 20 years ago, one, I'd be in church on a regular basis. I'd be speaking. I'd be teaching. I live a life that I cannot put to words. I pray that's what your life is like. A life by God that you can't put into words, that is seen by the action as we live each and every day. But that is what God is. He's our friend. You know, when we quit putting him way up there, which now he deserves, I mean, he's God. Remember how he created us to walk with us, to talk with us. Walk hand in hand. Remember, he says, I will never leave nor forsake you. So I will leave you with that. And I thank God. And may you all be blessed from here to all your days. Amen.
I'm standing up here. Say some. Come on up here. You gotta do what God says, dude. Yeah. We'll let Cecil stand behind you. I'm going to anoint you.
All right.
Halfway through your message, I found what Lord said do specifically for you today, that he's already started. I don't know if you heard it, but you're going to hear it. John 15, because it ministered to me. And those last words you read, that spoke to me too, Jack. So
what you give comes back to you. So I'm getting the word back to me. It's coming from you, Moses. See, learning to receive. From babes, Jesus said, listen to your kids, amen?
Amen.
Out of the mouths of babes, God can use. Somebody listens. John 15, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So you need to hear that again.
Amen.
Because the devil's going to say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, sit down, devil, let me tell you.
Amen.
Randy wrote a vision down, what he's going to do. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained. Now, we ordained you here. God wants to reiterate it, that he ordained you.
Amen.
I did it as a man led by God, but God said, I called you, I ordained you, I appointed you. That you should go and bring forth fruit. Fruit, see, fruit's coming. Souls coming.
Amen.
Lives being changed coming. Amen. That's the fruit. It's the fruit. Amen. See, the devil's mad.
Yeah,
sorry,
be mad.
Sorry. See, a lot of people have been putting man's wisdom in there, but you're bringing God's wisdom to
Amen.
People. And that's going to bring fruit that's going to abound. You're going to bring forth fruit, and the fruit should remain. See, because God never leaves them.
Amen.
See, AA, this man's system, it's going to fail.
It does.
The Babylonian system is going to fail, but see, what you're doing is not, because God's in it. It's going to remain that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You've been asking a lot of things, Jack.
Amen.
God says, you got it.
Amen.
Amen. So we're just going to, by faith, we're going to anoint you, and we just thank God. Everything's going to be done the way he wants it done. You're just you're not a servant. You're a son that serves. Amen. You have freedom, you know. You're his child. You have liberty, and you're going to bring liberty to the captives. You're going to set the captives free. They're going to see a real God, not one they can just hear about. They're going to know. They're going to know that they know. Because he's revealed himself to you, and you're going to reveal that same God,
yes.
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, he's a generational, he's a multi-generational God. So, Father, we thank you right now. All those that Jack have called, that you have called, that you have chosen for him to set free
yes.
and to recover, Lord, we thank you for that special anointing that's upon Jack. That same anointing that was upon Jesus is upon Jack. And we just thank you, Father God. This oil represents the Holy Spirit. Those gifts are going to flow. There's going to, deliverances are going to come. He ain't going to have to do a lot. He's just going to speak the word like he did today. And he's going to be led by the Holy Ghost, and he's going to say what he says the way Jack says it. And it's going to be done just like Jesus said. So, Father, we thank you for that anointing right now, Father. And we thank you for the power that was released on Pentecost. That same Holy Ghost power that filled them on today is still filling us today. And, Lord, we don't go by feelings. We go by the presence. We go by your glory and by your word. And I thank you, Lord, you know Jack's heart. Lord, when you say do something, he gets up and he gets his attention. He does it, Lord. So we just thank you right now. No more lack in his life right now, Father. Financial lack, you're gone. You're broken right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, this burden that Jesus has delivered Jack from, Father God, we command it to be loosed right now, Lord. The provision, everything he needs, Lord, you are his provider. And we just thank you. This is going to come in ways, Lord, that Jack wasn't expecting, but he's going to be receiving. Amen. He didn't know it, but he's going to receive it. So, Father, we just thank you for that. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to
God. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said it's finished.
Amen.
But it's a new beginning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Give him a hand clap. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He didn't leave me much time at all. That's good. That's what you're supposed to do.